Well, today we read just a few verses from Matthew's Gospel. We've been in Matthew's Gospel, remember, for some time. And the focus, the emphasis of this Gospel is the kingdom of heaven. Another kingdom, another dominion, another authority and power has come into this world through Jesus. And he calls us to repent, to forsake the way we think in the old kingdom and embrace his thoughts, which are part of the kingdom of God. And these are the words that we read. He was challenging religious leaders who were confronting him and speaking against him. And he said this: either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers. It's not a very kind thing, perhaps you might think to say, but Jesus always spoke in love. You brood of vipers. What's the thing about a viper? Poison in its mouth. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, now these words are extremely challenging for you and me today, for every human being. This is Jesus, the Son of God. He says this: I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. This is Jesus. This is God. For by your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. Now, these words are connected with the mission of Jesus, the purpose of Jesus. What has Jesus come to do in this world? He's come to give us a new heart so that out of the abundance of the new heart, our mouths will speak. But sadly, people hang on to their old heart. You know, when I went to the doctor and he told me, I'm standing before you as a result of a good doctor who saved my life. When the doctor speaks, he speaks to set us free from things that would cause trouble in our lives. And Jesus is telling us that the words that come out of our mouths defile you if they are not from God. They defile you. Grumbling. Not giving thanks. Criticizing others when they're not around. It's easy to do that, isn't it? It's not so easy to speak to people when they are around. And Jesus here is speaking to people who are around. He said, "You brood of vipers." The words that were coming out of their mouths were poison. Notice the Old Testament and what God declares he's going to do, and what he does, actually, in what we read this morning in the book of Isaiah, or Isaiah's prophecy. Later on in Zephaniah, God says this: "Therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to seize the prey For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, all my burning anger. For in the fire of my jealousy all the earth shall be consumed. For at that time I will change the speech of the peoples. Jesus wants to change our speech. Fundamentally, that is one of the most important things that will take place in your life, is to change your speech. I remember when I was a young person, I used to swear terribly, all the foul words. When I became a Christian, almost instantaneously gone. But not only foul words, Jesus searches our hearts like the good doctor. Thank you, Peter Langford, for giving me your stethoscope. I thought that was a very handy little tool for this morning, because Jesus is going around with his spiritual stethoscope this morning. He's checking us all out. And what you can tell, actually, this is a self-diagnosis. Find out what you say. Listen to your own words. You'll know the state of your heart. That's the truth. You listen to what you say, and you'll know the state of your heart. But remember this, Jesus has come to change that. This is what he says in Zephaniah. I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, holy speech, pure, without corruption or defilement. And notice Isaiah. We read Isaiah this morning. Isaiah is known as the prince of the prophets. His prophecy is just incredible. It is just so directively pointing to Jesus Christ that it's almost impossible to mistake, actually, if you just take time to listen to Isaiah. In fact, in the Jewish synagogues, they will not read Isaiah 53. Isn't that interesting? They will not read it because it points so clearly to Jesus. And Isaiah, we read this morning, when he meets God, what is the first thing he is conscious of? What he says out of his mouth. Woe is me, I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Isaiah was also conscious that people around him were not speaking pure words from God. They're speaking out of their own minds, out of their own understandings, out of their own corrupt hearts. And God has come to completely change us. Hallelujah. We prayed this morning, create in me a clean heart. In his ministry, Jesus met many people. He was particularly conscious of their words and their thoughts. And notice, very interestingly, it's not just words that we speak audibly out of our mouths. Do you remember Hannah when she prayed? The scriptures tell us there in 1 Samuel that Hannah prayed, but no words were coming out of her mouth. She was pouring out her heart to God. And Eli, who was in rebellion himself, knew that was the case, he knew God was going to answer. Because God knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And in Matthew 12, just before this, the Pharisees have been observing Jesus, and it says, Matthew records, knowing their thoughts, he said to them. So you can harbour thoughts in your mind that are coming from another source. They're not coming from God. And you can think they're very sound, you know. My wife, she needs whatever she needs. She's not really up to standard, whatever it is. What does God actually have to say? Because the thoughts and intentions of our hearts are being considered by the doctor. Not to condemn us, not to accuse us, to convict us and tell us we need treatment. In Luke chapter 7, which we shared with the children this morning, as I was preparing this message, you know, the Holy Spirit was saying, you've got to go to the story of the sinful woman and the Pharisee. And I'm going, how does that connect with, you know, making a tree good? And as I began to go into this story, this is an amazing story about two people, one who gets completely free and the other one who stays stuck. And notice in the story, we read this in Luke 7. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, right? If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. And Luke records, and Jesus answering him. Isn't that interesting, you know? He didn't speak to Jesus. He didn't even speak passively, you know, for Jesus to hear. But Jesus answers him because he already knows what he's thinking. And that's the same with us. Jesus knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows the thoughts. He knows the words that come out of our mouths in our homes when we're talking with our wives or our friends, or maybe we're not even talking to our friends. He knows exactly what we're saying. And remember what he said. Every careless word is going to be judged by God. Do you want to love Jesus a lot? Do you want to really love Jesus? Let him convict you of the words that you say that are not from him. You will need lots of forgiveness. And you will be coming to him, oh Lord, forgive me. And you will love him so much, just like the woman. Because actually he sets you free. He forgives you. He cleanses you. He changes what you say out of your mouths. Simon, I have something to say to you. Say it, teacher. You see, Simon wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Well, what did Jesus have to say? A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debts of both. Which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, whom he cancelled the larger debt. He said to him, you've judged rightly. Then turning to the woman, he said, do you see this woman? Do you see the person next to you? Do you really see? What judgments are you making of others? What words do you speak about them? Do you see this woman? Do you really see what's going on in her life? One of the greatest failures is our sight, because we do not see what God sees. I entered your house, says Jesus. You gave me no water for my feet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she's anointed my feet with ointment. I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Do you think Jesus was saying, her sins, which are many, but yours are not many? No. He says, the one who's forgiven much loves much. The one who really knows their sinful condition and sees what Jesus has done to make them new is the person who loves him, just like Elizabeth beautifully illustrated when she said, I asked the question, what was the woman, why was the woman crying? She was so happy to see Jesus. This morning, dear friends, you are coming to the table of the Lord Jesus. Do you see Jesus? Do you really see him? You will only see him fully when you see the wretchedness of your own condition, when you see how utterly lost you are, and how fully he has provided for that need. And when you see this, you will be broken like the woman, not of sadness, not of grief. Yes, there's a measure of grief of our sinfulness, but in love for Jesus. You will be weeping. Do you love Jesus? You can only love him when you see how much he loves you. And he has come to make the tree good. That out of the abundance of your heart, you will speak for him. Out of the treasure of Christ within you, you will speak his words and not your own. You will be the avenue for him to speak into this world, and you will lead other people to know how much they are loved by Jesus. If only they would see the depth of their sinfulness, they would then see what he has done for them on the cross. For Isaiah, this man who was convicted deeply, out of his mouth was coming things that were not from God. And you know, over the next 30 odd chapters, he challenges sin. Continually, he challenges sin. And you'd say, oh, this isn't very comfortable or nice, or it doesn't appear to be very loving to be addressing sin in people's lives. But then we get to chapter 53, don't we? Then we get to how he saw Jesus Christ. We see what Isaiah knew to be true about God. 700 years before Jesus comes, he says, who has believed what he has heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground, had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah saw that Jesus had come to give him forgiveness for his sins, cleansing of his heart, to make the tree good, that out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth would speak. Dear friends, that's what Jesus wants to do for you and me, to purify our hearts from dead works, to serve a living God who loves us so much that he would come and die for every wrong word that we've said. He'd come and pay the price so that at the judgment of God, he could say, not guilty to you and me. And today he says, this is my table. Come to me. Let's pray.